We've had the most fantastic 3 months in here, ever. Really, the last 3 months have been absolutely brilliant. Because we've been doing all, while we've been broadcasting and trying to make ends meet and everything for the last 3 months, we've also been doing an awful lot of work on trying to get a radio license.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys in here have been absolutely brilliant. And you know, everybody in here is in good form today because we've really done everything we possibly could to do the thing right. I really think we've done it fantastic. And the guys in here and the girls, just brilliant. This place has run without a boss for the last 3 months because I haven't had to say a thing to anybody. It's just been brilliant. The Lions Club appeal was out of this world. You know, it really was. It was absolutely brilliant. And if I don't get a chance, I'd just like to publicly thank everybody who's working in here for the just really making it so easy for me for the last 3 months. And for the, we've had a ball for 10 years. And I think we go out with a lot of smiles. I don't think, you know, we're optimistic now for the future. And I think we've done everything we can do to try and, secure our future. And I think we've done that. So thanks to everybody. Because I mightn't get a chance to say it later on.
No. You're saying that with a lump in your throat. How are you going to feel Monday morning? Because you know where to go.
How am I going to feel? I'm kind of relieved in a way at this stage. Because to keep this thing going has taken an awful lot, as I think most of you know. And the hours are horrendous. And there's no holidays usually. I think I was working out the other day. I think I've had 25 working days off in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
you took five of those for your honeymoon.
And most of the time you're in here 7 days, and it's been a lot of commitment. And really, that's been because we've had to kind of keep small and tight and just keep growing. And it's very hard to grow in the conditions we're in. And I'm looking forward to getting a license or not getting one. You know, at least
there'll be an outcome.
Now there's an outcome, and it's great. And I'm confident at this stage that we've done it all, and we've done it right, and we've got nothing to be ashamed of. I'm as proud of Punch today as of everything we've done.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm confident. Monday morning, I miss it like hell. I mean, we all will. But, I mean, it's only going to be for a couple of months. Because, like, whether this WLR, you know, our application wins or not, and I'm sure it will, whether it's not, I mean, we have got, and it's quite obvious from the audience figures that have come out.
Yeah, would you just talk about the survey there for a moment, which you had commissioned in the last 2 or 3 weeks, I believe.
Well, I didn't have it commissioned, Rick. It was commissioned by our applicant group, and it was commissioned. What basically happened is we asked one of the top market research companies in the country to do a survey on radio audience figures because it's never been done. A decent survey has never been done down here. A survey that will stand up to you know, without an actual where the figures will stand up.
You're talking about an outside survey.
Survey that's done by a reputable market research company that use marketing standards to obtain figures on audience listening habits. And WLR swept the boards with it. Now, I can't go into all of it, Rick, purely and simply because it's being used for our application.
Right.
But I can say that in a week, over a weekly period, that between the ages of 15 to 55, that our weekly reach was 65%. RTE1s, this is in the Waterford Southeast area. RTE1s was 41%. Radio 2s was 43%. ABCs was 26%, and NCRs was 2%. There was time at the weekend we never ever drop under 50% of the audience. There are some times where we're a bit slightly overshadowed by Radio 1, but most, nearly all of the time, we are 3 and 4 and 5 times more popular with people in this area than any other radio station on the band. And I think that's a fantastic achievement for a radio station that has to work, you know, in the situation we're working in. So I'm confident that everybody in here is the best around.
Ooh. But Jesus,
Jesus,
and rock and roll,
rock and roll,
can never go together,
never go together.
But I think they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. Listen to my song, my song, my song. Why should the devil have all the good music? Why should the devil have all the good music? One, two, one, two, three. I want the people to know that he saved my soul, but I still had to listen to the radio. They say that rock and roll is wrong, we'll give you one more chance. I said, I'm feeling so good, I gotta get up and dance. I know what's right, I know what's wrong, it's so confusing. All I'm really trying to say is, why should the devil have all the good music? I feel good every day, 'cause Jesus is the rock and he rolled my blues away. My hair, they're driving me insane. I'm running out alone to make room for my brain. Sometimes people don't understand what's a good boy doing in a rock and roll band. There's nothing wrong with playing a blues lick. Well, if you got a reason, tell me to my face. Why should the devil have all the good music? There's nothing wrong with what he plays, 'cause Jesus is the rock and he wrote my blues. The way. One more thing I'd like to say. They nailed him to a cross and they laid him in the ground. You should have known you can't keep a good man down.
Cliff getting it all together there, and why should the devil have all the good music? Commercial break time now.
It's been a mild winter so far, and sure, spring is just around the corner. Time to start preparing for the grass-cutting season. So if your mower's in need of repair, take it to the Garden Machinery Centre Railway Square. They're the experts and carry out repairs on all makes of domestic and professional mowers, so don't let the grass grow under your feet. Call to the Garden Machinery Centre Railway Square, Waterford, phone 051-796-22.
Congratulations.
It's great news.
When's the big day?
My family were delighted. Where shall we have the wedding reception? I said, the cry from the gang at home was unanimous.
The Granville.
Granville.
Definitely the Granville.
Well, with a choice of two magnificent suites, the larger tapestry suite or the smaller green room suite, and the Granville's superb choice of menus, I had to agree, and so did John.
Getting married in 89? Ensure your big day is a big success. Book your wedding reception with the Granville Hotel now. Phone 051-551-111.
For a wedding day to remember, make it...
The Granville.
Granville.
Definitely the Granville.
Bon voyage.
Now is the time to talk to Lismore Travel about your 89 holiday. America, New York or Boston from only £295. Paris for the weekend from only £109, including hotel accommodation. Lismore Travel will take you to the sensational Canary Islands for only £229. Or skiing in Bulgaria for 1 week for just £200. Better places, better prices.
Bon voyage.
Book your 89 holiday now with Lismore Travel, 47 The Quay in Waterford.
Even with the best home heating, your house will always have its cold spots. Which is why you'll warm to the new winter collection of Bottle Gas heaters at your local Flow Gas dealer. Names like Supersir, Alvima and Valor give you instant heat when and where you want it. Right, FG?
Sure, your Flow Gas dealer's the hottest spot in town.
Flow Gas, the fuel with the future.
Available from Cove Motors, Dunmore Road, Waterford.
Getting bigger by being better. WMO.
with me now. Denise Wall has been with me all afternoon, of course, and has been with the station for what? Denise, about...
6 years.
Six? No, you're here longer than 6 years, are you?
No, 6 years in January.
6 years in January. And beside you, Father Billy McCarthy of the Good News
Program. Good evening, Rick.
And of late, will you be a recording artist, do you think?
Give me a break. Thank you very much.
Debbie on the Theatre Royal.
Depending on the Theatre Royal, well, I don't know. Well, I mean, you're hosting the programme. Rick, you've asked me the questions.
There's so many questions to ask you, but you're the kind of guy who doesn't need to be asked a question, actually, because you're such a good broadcaster. I'm not actually clapping you in the back, because that's everybody's opinion. And,
well,
and people have written
much.
Letters into us over the years and said, Father Billy McCarthy, he's great, isn't he?
He's lovely.
Oh, well, what comes by nature, I suppose, costs no money. All is a gift, and it comes from the good Lord above, and I suppose it depends on what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basic. Do you
have any regrets about local radio?
So I would think mainly there were times... You see, the kind of programme that I do, the Good News programme, as it expanded and developed over the years, we became issue-oriented, you know? So we're dealing with national issues, which had a sort of a religious slant to them. And the one thing Denise and I always felt was, that, and indeed Martin Hart, when he was producing the programme, was... you couldn't get the politicians in to give their side of it. So
right.
That's all going to change.
Just talking to Tom Brennan about that, actually.
That would be marvellous.
Right.
I think that's a good thing.
So do you think it was sometimes convenient for them to say a no, and the reason being that I know some of them may have been genuine about
I'm
it.
I'm sorry, but to your pirates, we cannot talk to you.
Yes,
I suppose people have reasons and conscience, and we must respect that, you know.
Well, Denise made most of those calls, I think, to those people, and must have been... fed up to the back teeth with the...
It was like hitting a brick wall.
Yeah.
You knew before you rang that you weren't going to get it, and the enthusiasm was sort of, oh, well, sure, we'll try it anyway.
Yeah.
It's a pity, but this is a turning point.
Yeah, that's all going to change, absolutely,
right.
Which will be marvellous.
Yeah.
One thing I will say, too, as regards this station, I think that the Good News programme, we're not blowing our own trumpet, when it comes to broadcasting in Ireland, it was something pretty unique that you have 3 hours of religious affairs that actually captured an audience. Because when you eventually persuaded me to join the station, as you know, I was with two other outfits before this, RTE.
Were you?
I was with RTE Community Radio.
So,
and I was 3 years with Vatican Radio. So when I was
Vatican,
ordained...
What was Radio Vatican like? Just to go on about that for a
Vatican
moment.
Radio broadcasts in something like 38 languages, 24 hours a day. And that basically consists of sort of 20-minute slots for these language groupings. And I produced and presented for nearly 3 years the Sunday evening programme, which is 20 minutes. And
speak some Italian, really.
No,
on.
I will not.
Please.
No, thank you. Maybe when I'm signing off, I will.
Spaghetti.
No, I eat that. I don't speak it. But the big change for me was, in broadcasting up to then, my experience was that somebody else did all the technical side of it.
And
that you had somebody who operated the discs, somebody edited your program for you, somebody switched on the microphone. You couldn't do any of that sort of thing. So when I came in here, when we were operating in Wellington Street in 1981, it was my first experience of being totally self-op, as they say.
Right.
And one of my memories of that was miscuing a record. Now here am I, the priest, and everybody has most people have horrible preconceptions of a priest, but I think I've put a few of them to rest on this station over the years.
Yeah.
But anyway, here was I up in Wellington Street, which I always thought was a fire hazard, with all due respect to the Desmond.
Well, it was actually.
One Saturday morning, here was I, just raw into this new operation, and I miscued a record, but left the microphone switch on. With no red light or anything like that, and I could hear myself on the earphones.
Did you
saying a word, not just speaking it, but spitting it out. It began with an S and ended with a T.
Oh,
and I thought, that's my broadcasting career over, and the bishop will have me out in Clashmore next week.
But you went on to greater things.
Ah, well.
Yeah. After you left RTE, you went on to better things.
Yes, but I went on to an audience.
So, hopes and aspirations for the future, Billy. Do you think WLR stand a good chance on the license front?
I hope so. I think that I think we deserve it, to be quite honest. I mean, that sounds terrible, but sort of self-congratulatory. But, you know, we've heard a lot of bunkum down through the past years about access radio, you know, and access television. And we never really see it happen, whereas this outfit here has been about that. And I think, you know, the good wishes that have been coming in over the last, you know, kind of couple of hours, and it's always been a team effort. My producer is here next to me, and I want to thank Denise for all her help since I came back.
I think we should all thank Denise. Denise
here.
Hey! The lady who...
Give us a garter.
Who, when a guy isn't available for a programme, if Denise can't find him after somebody to replace him, she will come up and do the programme herself, and that's dedication. There's no doubt about it, and I've often seen Denise cancel engagements and other meetings to be here.
I won't fit at the door with my head.
Before Denise and I say goodbye, we want to do something, because in fairness to the people who have been calling in all afternoon, we're going to do a quick gallop through the best wishes. Is that okay with you, Rick?
Please, be my guest.
Okay, so start with you, Denise. Right.
Okay, best wishes from the following. Richard and Mary Moore in Dungarvan, from all the staff of the South Eastern Health Board, from Catherine O'Keefe in Kill, from Kathleen Heffernan in Anstown, best of luck, from Michael Mitchell in St. Osran's Hospital, Willie O'Callaghan of the Waterford Soccer Referees Society, and from Mrs. Ryan of 9 Emmett Place and all her family there. Billy.
All the girls in 411 St. John's Park, who are very sad to see us go, all in McGonigal's, particularly Margaret, wishes the best, and the message from her is there'll be two red eyes up there at 6 o'clock. hello to Mr. and Mrs. Bourne in 343 St. John's Park, happy new year to all the family and the best to WLR in 89. The Ryan Asharka Sea Angling Club, the message from them is you better get the licence because we don't know what we'll do without you. And one here says that I could really cry and go to miss you so much, especially Bob, Tony and Noreen, and that's Rita Doherty on Chief Point, and that's just a sample of what's been coming in.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to say God bless to everybody.
Great.
Hope you have a good year.
Thank you, Denise Wall and the Reverend Bill. Well, we see you back with an American-type broadcast in 1989.
No, thank you. The formula's working. We'll stick with what we have.
You get an indulgence for $1, folks.
Thank you very much.
Play the music, Rick.
Yes, bye-bye. I think I will, actually. Bye-bye. Representative on the new board of the South Eastern Broadcasting Company. John, how has community response been to WLR's application?
Well, community response has been marvellous, Rick, as one would expect. The meeting that was held in the Tower about 5 weeks ago had over 100 people attending, and they represented, I think, something like 92 community organisations. And while not everybody pledged support there and then for WLR's application, there wasn't one vote against.
Mm-hmm.
And at that particular meeting, a liaison group of five was elected. And of the five, two of us have been appointed to the board of the new company, Pat Brady of the Community Service Council and myself.
So are you confident that WLR's, or rather the South Eastern Broadcasting Company's application...
Well, I'm confident that the new station has total community support. And this is something that it just didn't grow overnight. For example, the support group of which I was chairman started in 1983. And we've been meeting regularly since 1983, initially through the good offices of Father Mullins in St. John's College and then in other locations around the city. We were preparing for a license application way back then in 1983, but various government changes took place, various changes in the ideas that politicians had on how local radio should go took place. But at least the group, which met together in 1983, has stuck with the station since then and has offered support. We made a submission to the All-Party Committee on Local Radio set up by the Oireachtas, and I think that was quite well received. And we've had our credentials on the table for everybody to see, and there was no sort of cloak and dagger work behind scenes, as I think there may have well been with other organisations.
Well, the fact that you met then 5 years ago and discussed local radio and have been discussing it on the...
We discussed legal local radio
right,
5 years
okay.
ago.
Thank you for correcting me. 4 or 5 years, and as you say, on a regular basis. What exactly does the community want from local radio?
The community wants precious little more than it's getting at the moment from WLR. It wants open access. It wants people who are prepared to listen and people who are prepared to be informed by specialist groups within the community, interest groups of all sorts, and it wants the kind of response that a local station with local voices beamed to the local area can give. One of my main reasons for associating myself with WLR, well, there were two, in fact. One was through the literacy scheme. The adult literacy scheme, you can't contact people with reading difficulties through the written word. So local radio is an ideal medium for encouraging people to come forward and helping them. The second one was an association I had for a large number of years with St. Patrick's Hospital. And, you know, the old people in that hospital, when WLR was on and when the requests were being read, would often tell their visitors to stay quiet because they wanted to hear what was coming over the radio. Right. It was a real link between people who were out of the community and people who were still in the community. And I think something like that, you can't put a value on.
Well, thank you, John. I suppose we could talk about local radio for maybe another hour and what it means to the community. And how confident are you about the Southeastern Broadcasting
Company? I think we must be the front runner. Obviously, there are other candidates in the field, but I would hope that the package which has been put together in terms of the programming, the community support, and the community support has run both ways. The new company has given over a £10,000 share, free of charge, in the station to community interests. This share will be held in trust, and any income from the share will be devoted to community interests as well. And I think that means that the new company is putting its money where its mouth is. Others have claimed community support. The new WLR is actually giving community support before it even gets a license, and that can't be a bad thing.
Thank you, John, and good luck in the application for a license.
Thank you, Rick.
John Reardon. Okay, you're going to open the... Hello, Eddie Cody.
Hello.
Hello, Eddie.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Great, thanks. Great.
Well, okay. Tell me about local radio and you. Let's face it, Elvis was famous, but I think locally you're probably way ahead of him.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. Local radio, I have a lot to thank for the local radio anyway, because it made my name sort of well-known in the Southeast anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some great happy memories of working with local radio, with WLR and the other ones as well, you know.
Yeah.
The crack was great down through the years. I remember the first time WLR came on, Rick, back in 1978.
Yes, I actually remember you were working down with the Beefy King at
that
time.
Right, yeah,
And everybody called you Elvis. And actually, in fact, I remember when that song came out, we all thought probably the song was written about you. There's a guy who works down the chip shop, looks like Elvis or whatever it was. What does local radio mean to you, Eddie? I mean, after 10.5 years, you've been, as you say, yourself on all the radio stations.
I spent 8.5 years working there altogether.
Yeah.
I think I've probably had enough of radio myself.
Right.
The novelty wore off after a while and it became a job, you know.
Yeah.
But I must say I enjoyed it thoroughly down through the years, you know. But the radio certainly, there's a need for it. You know, there always has been a need for it, I think. And WLR, I think, seems to fill that gap there. You know, there's a need.
Well, being one of the old stalwarts and having been a pirate, do you think that in a legal situation that the radio will worsen or better radio in the eyes of the public or in the eyes of listenership or the ears of listenership?
Yeah, it's hard to know really, you see, because for the listener, they're the people that are going to suffer at the moment anyway, for a start. The listeners are the ones, you know, as well as on the disc jockeys and presenters and everything. You probably won't even realise that for a couple of weeks until you find yourself that you have nothing to do at the moment, you know.
Well, the choice is gone.
But there's a big a lot of excitement around at the moment, you see. But when it's all over, it'll probably hit you, you know, that you've nothing to do for a while. But anyway, the listeners, they're the ones that are going to suffer most, because...
Mm-hmm.
As the survey showed earlier on, a lot of people actually do listen to local radio, you know, and they're the ones that are going to miss something terrible for a while. But whether or not now when it gets legalised, will local radio be as good as what it has been? See, there's a certain amount of competition around at the moment, if you know what I mean.
Yes, okay.
With the other stations, like.
Well, Are they? WLR came out with 65% in that poll, Eddie.
Yeah.
So you know, and a very genuine poll it was.
Yeah.
But competition
is good, though. You know, I mean, competition is good.
But it keeps everybody on their toes. The competition is
like
healthy.
If you have two horses in a race, they're going to battle it out against each other to win. But if you only got one horse, you see, well, you know, so there's not going to be a competition. But still, all the same, I'm sure WLR, if WLR does get a license, I'm sure you will be willing to continue on.
Well, thank you very much, Eddie Cody.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was listening to Des earlier on speaking, and I never actually realised that Des fell asleep on the air. I thought I was the only person who did that.
Because you did that too.
To
well,
you know Paul Dower, don't you? Paul
yes,
Dower.
Yes, I do, of course.
Yeah, Paul, I think Paul was on WLR for some time, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah. The day that Paul got married, actually, I was working with Sureset at the time, the other station, and of course the wedding was hectic and lots of beer at it and everything. And I was doing a nighttime show there, and the very same thing happened as happened to Des. I just nodded off and got a terrible shock when I woke up about 3:30 in the morning.
Well, I'll have to say to you at this point, Eddie, sweet dreams, because we've got lots more people to talk to.
Well,
and we've got
about the best of luck, Rick, to WNR, and thanks very much.
Will you go out to the car and honk the horn at 6:00?
Maybe I will, yeah.
Good. Make the big
okay,
noise for WNR. Thank you very much, Eddie Cody. And Bob Hewson, there he goes. Bob Hewson's in studio with us now. So, Bob, I'm going to call on you for a little while. Would you give us a little?
What? I have a little, very nice little here.
You're wearing a garter on his wrist.
Yours.
You do, will you? I mean, to suspect where you might have been. Anyway, thanks, it's on my wrist now. Bob, just give us a little on your background. You worked with Sureset when you came to Waterford. Did you have a background in radio before?
I had a year, just over a year and a half, in fact, with a station in Galway, 1982-83 mark.
Yeah.
WCCR.
Yeah.
Good name.
Yeah.
West Coast Community Radio.
Uh-huh.
So I had that, then a bit of Sureside, then here.
Yeah. Your name is synonymous now with the ladies, and I think they all like to think about you late at night after 11 o'clock. Dulcet tones of Bob Hewson speaking into the microphone. And
yeah, I like the garter on the wrist, you know, it suits you.
Forget that. Are you looking forward to broadcasting in 89?
Well, we'll have to see what happens in 89. We just play it by ear between now and then.
Thank you, Bob Hewson.
Thank you, Rick.
Tony Mulder's sitting back in the news booth. You got to talk, Tony.
Rick, I'm just sitting here listening to what's going on.
I see. I'll just give you an open mic there.
Enjoying it immensely.
Okay, Kieran McGeary and Nick Flynn at the moment. Kieran, you must be the youngest. Are you the youngest disc jockey in WLR?
In WLR, yeah.
Yeah. So how do you feel about... you're with the station about a year and a half, are you? Maybe?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Is that all you're going to say to me now, after a year and a half?
I got very shy.
Well, I mean, has it been pleasant or unpleasant for you?
Obviously. Very pleasant.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Great bunch of lads.
Yeah,
lassies to work with.
You've found yourself been stuck in almost anywhere and everywhere. And but I know you had a regular programme, but you've certainly filled in when times were necessary to fill in. Nick Flynn.
Yes, Rick.
Traditional music is now, I suppose, anybody who thinks about traditional music and whatever thinks about Nick Flynn.
That's nice, it's so, Rick. But I think one thing that WLR has done for traditional music was to blow the myth wide apart that traditional music was elitist, and if you weren't a good go, you couldn't enjoy traditional music. And I think the response to the show has been...
The barrier was broken down?
The barrier has been broken down. It's been brought to community level as well. And I must say that I've enjoyed working here, and I couldn't have asked to work with a better bunch of boys or girls. Ladies and gentlemen, I just like some of the listeners maybe to think back to the days of Shosha Maria, so if you go to him,
yes.
He started it all for us, and then on to Tom Allan and Michael Forrestal as well. They all contributed to making the spot very, very popular indeed, anyway. But all I can say is that here's hoping for the future.
Thank you very much, Nick Flynn. Shay Searson is now in the studio, heartthrob of millions. Like I said, you always bring the fans with you, Shay.
Oh, yeah. Rent approach. I get the garter, right.
Your spot is particularly difficult because you have to really keep ahead or abreast with the music.
I like that, Jack.
Yes. And you have. Actually, you have. And, you know, you've certainly won your fans. The nighttime slot has always been perhaps associated with younger people, a younger listening audience. But I think you've got a fairly intelligent audience out there as well, because you do invite them to partake in the programme, don't you?
Yeah, from occasion to occasion. Nice of you to say it, Rick.
Pardon?
Nice of you to say it.
Well,
I'm going all nervy now, you know, I mean, last roundup, but I'd just like to say thanks to Des for the opportunity over the last 2.5 years, and just a thank you to everybody for listening and taking part in the programme, and here's to the future.
Mm.
Well, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
You're not going to go away.
Thanks to Ray for doing the camera work today.
You won't emigrate.
No, I think I'll.
You're
going to
stick around and see what happens.
See what happens.
We've also had a notice here from the Gardaí, and they say that they're sorry to see WLR Southeast Radio go, and it says all the best for 89. Thank you very much to the Gardaí.
Will
you get the make the sirens go at 6 o'clock, lads? And we'd appreciate that too. In fact, if you've just tuned in, this is WLR Southeast Radio broadcasting for the very last time. And it's now 27 minutes from 6. We're here till 6 o'clock, and at 6 o'clock we'd like you to sound your horn and make a big noise for WLR Southeast Radio. Jeff Harris has been holding things together in the mornings for a long time now.
Yeah.
And not just in the mornings, but I think you've probably been on virtually every programme spot in the station over the last 10 and a half years. Pleasant or unpleasant for you, Jeff?
I don't mind. It was pretty good. I don't know which was the best one. The breakfast show, Desi was a complete nervous wreck because he used to have to get up at half 6 every morning. God, I wonder, is Jeff in this morning? And that was before we used to have the CDs all night as well. So,
yeah.
And then there were, of course, the various jokes at our myself and Jean's wedding over the fact that I was always late. But, it wasn't too bad over the last few months. Was it, Des?
Again, Jeff, you're the only one who actually went to national radio apart from Billy.
Well, that was only for 6 months. So
well, you were in national radio nonetheless for 6 months. Is there a big difference between national radio and local radio?
Well, I mean, it's probably changed a lot since I was here, but certainly local radio is in my book, a much more personal medium. I mean, the national radio thing is different, but...
Is it as professional?
Well, I don't know. It's not for me to say, is it?
Well, you were there.
I was, yeah, but I was there in the early days, so, I mean, things were in their infancy there as well as they were here in WLR. I mean... I think over the last 10 years, it's been an amazing place to work in because we've come from being a couple of young lads like myself, yourself, well, you're not a young lad, myself and Des.
Thank you, Jeff.
No,
Harris.
I was only joking.
Thank you, Jeff.
But like the thing was that we started off and we were all a bunch of the lads, you know, having a bit of a crack and playing our favourite records and now it's come to be, you know, we're a little bit older.
Yeah, I think it was
wiser.
It was a big ego thing in those days, right? Out and out, I think it was. Almost on everybody's behalf. If you become a disc jockey, you have to have a certain amount of ego. Mm. And I don't see anything wrong with that. It's a good driving force, anyway, and a good energy. Any funny incident, Jeff? You must have a heap of them, actually.
Yeah, that was great. We went up... Actually, Daniel, I heard Bill Fitzpatrick... he was on with you there talking about Daniel O'Donnell. And in fairness to Bill, he was the guy who put his finger on Daniel O'Donnell and said... he's going to be huge, pardon the pun. But anyway, we went to see him in Wexford, myself and a gang on the bus. Yeah. We had a fantastic time. Didn't we, Denise?
You just fell asleep, yeah.
It was last, Denise, or Elizabeth with us and Denise, and myself and Jean and a gang of us, and Maura Logan from Piltown. She went as well, and she must be the biggest Daniel O'Donnell fan in the country. And we went along to see him, and it was all in aid of the Christmas hamper appeal last year. We just about broke even, actually. But I think we made a few quid, didn't we, Denise?
We did.
But we went to interview him. Yeah, we went to interview him anyway, the famous Daniel, you see, and the place was black.
Mm.
And Denise decided to come in with us, you see. And I don't know what happened to Daniel, but he didn't really mind, but excuse me now, lads, I have to change now. So he... did the hair, like, and the next thing, zoom, down came his trousers. And Denise, he left on his wife.
Was, but...
Go on.
So Denise was, Denise got her eye full there, so Maura Logan has always been onto Denise to find out exactly what.
And he doesn't use hairspray. Or have a wig.
No, he doesn't.
Right, thank you. Well, we're getting personal about Daniel now. Yeah. That's it then. How do you feel about 89, Jeff?
I think it's a very exciting time for radio in Waterford. Certainly, as far as WLR is concerned, it's gone as far as it can. I think that when the licences come out, if we get the licence, there's going to be so much more that we can do. I found out working with Denise, and she'll go along with this, that trying to get interviews in here was an absolute impossibility every day of the week, 5 days a week. And I think we'll be in a better position if it all goes well, that people will actually come in and look for interviews, and that's the way it should be. And we'll be able to get the guards in about, you know, if there's been robberies locally or whatever, and I heard they just rang up there, and they've been as helpful as they can be. But I mean, we'll be able to get, you know, maybe the local super in each month to tell us what's happening, you know, so the possibilities are really great.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really good. And I'd just like to thank Des and all the guys I've certainly enjoyed working with all of them. I think when we work in such a small space, I think it's amazing that we've all managed to get along as well as we have done, you know.
Right, thank you very much, Jeff Harris.
Ollie Bobby is just waiting.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Oliver Bible has just arrived over with some champagne after doing a splendid job on my girlfriend's hair. Thank you very much, Ollie. You never disappoint me.
That's shampoo he has in the bottle, is it?
And cheers. I can have my fingers back.
I'll have a
find out what's going on in here. Yes, I say, oh, thank you very much. And, yeah, lovely, thank you. Yes, I lost my cue there for a moment.
You're wearing a condom, Tony.
I see. Can we get Claire Gardner in there? Because Claire, you started back in the very early days on WLR Southeast Radio, which was WLR in those days, and you were the living doll. That was your theme music.
You picked it.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm guilty on that issue as well. What has local radio meant to you? You've been with ABC in more recent times.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been fabulous. I don't know, I'm really upset that you're going and that we had to go yesterday. I think that there's a great need for local radio.
Yeah.
And I just would like to wish you all the very best for 1989.
Thank you, Claire. Okay. We got the big man in there. Come on. He's wearing his camera at the moment.
Just we get through the orgy here.
Tell me a few
seconds
again.
He never changed.
Glad not.
No, he didn't, did he?
Never grew up.
Well, I'm sure he will now. Roddy, do you want to talk to us about local radio?
As we all know here, I just joined WLR, last September. Before that was ABC for 5 years. Before that was Shoreside. And it's rather ironic that start back 10 years ago, that the people I end up with is WLR, because to me, WLR were always the
opposition.
Well, not the bad boys, but the opposition. Yeah. Right? And it's just that, I mean, for everybody here involved in music or community, I mean, the sadness that's going to be there, I mean, somebody said it earlier on, it's not going to hit anybody, even me now. I mean, I have my own job during the day, whatever. But radio to me was always a hobby. But that couple of hours every evening or maybe again or whatever, it's just, what are you going to do now, tiddlywinks? Or listen to your own radio tapes back over the years, you know. So I just want to say thanks to community radio, to local radio, for the crack, the fun.
Thank you.
And the opportunity.
Thank you, Roddy. Okay, Liam Welsh is back there. Do you want to get in, Liam? Because you're now not just a school teacher, but a producer with RTE.
Well, something like that, yeah. Or less.
He was until today.
Up until this very minute, I think.
Just about,
yeah. See the phone ringing. do you want to speak?
Well, Roddy was here, he said, 5 years. I think I've doubled. I was here since the very, very beginning, more.
Yeah,
than
I remember, you were also with Shoreside, and we used to call you. We used to call you Explosions.
That's right, yeah.
It used to come on.
With a jingle box, yeah.
Yes, this fabulous jingle would come on and say, John Fletcher.
That's
right. And it had a lot of impact, I suppose, back in the early days. It was innovative anyway, but all of that, of course, has gone by the board now. Being a producer with RTE, that's sort of freelance at the moment, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah, and how do you look on local radio? Has it been a pleasant or unpleasant 10 years?
It's been an absolutely amazing 10 years. I don't know how I would have survived the last 10 years without local radio, because to me it's been an incredible part of my life, and I know everybody in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a part of their life. There's three things I want to say. First of all, the station wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for yourself.
And Gidio Gianni.
The station wouldn't be in existence if it wasn't for the work of Gidio, and I think it wouldn't have been here up until today without the work of Des. I think the three of you need a tremendous clap on the back, and fair play to the three of you. There's one very funny incident to tell you about, nobody probably knows about, apart from Tommy O'Keefe, maybe, and that is, you're talking about funny incidents earlier on. About 4 years ago, there was a midnight mass being broadcast. From, I think it was the cathedral.
Yeah.
And what nobody knows was that everybody who was working on the gig that night was slightly the worse for wear. And there's a certain presenter trying to introduce the link into the midnight mass. You know him, Clove. And he was totally out of his mind, hadn't a clue where he was, and he couldn't even remember which particular church that the midnight mass was coming from. Which is quite an interesting one.
Keep talking.
Well, we're doing grand here. Where's the champagne
we'll
going?
Get out of the bed.
We'll never get out of here. Well, listen, Rick, thanks for everything.
Thank you, Liam, and
great,
thanks for
great,
calling in.
Great working with you.
There's Clodagh Walsh over there to the extreme right who came in from school and
yes, right.
announced
yes,
herself one day that said you were a strong little lady in local radio in school, well, the
right.
school radio nurse.
It's actually, what happened was one night in school, WLR had started and everybody was listening to it, and I was friends with a lot of the boarders, and they asked me would I phone and talk to Ray O'Brien one night on air. I'm sure Ray doesn't remember this at all. And we phoned. I remember. Sitting on the end of the stairs. Didn't get that effect on you? And I was chatting away to you, and you said to me, oh, you don't sound too bad. And I, did you ever think of being involved in radio? And of course I said, yes, 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 being full of Blackgarden. And then I came into school the following day, and Sue, your sister, said to me, the boy said, would you be interested in putting a demo together? So myself and my friend and Walter put a demo together in the sitting room and sent it in, and that's how it all started.
And here you are.
And here I am, still here.
You owe it all to me then.
I owe it all to you, Ray. Thank you for my first big break, and it's been absolutely great.
Done,
and it's nice to have been back again and to be here for the finish. But well, for the finish of one half and the beginning of a very new and positive and exciting year for everybody, and just thanks to everybody. It's been really great. For the opportunity to be back.
Clodagh, thank you. Good luck to you in the future.
Well done.
And not Tommy O'Keefe. Would you like to say it? Tom, you've got about 16 minutes to apologise for everything you've done in the past. For damn near driving the radio station up onto the rock several times.
I look after you, Rick.
Yeah, you look after me, all right. Let me tell you about Tommy, who is responsible now for apart from the occasional programme, which you do, and extremely well. You make the commercials every day, and when Tom isn't getting on terribly well with you, you can end up sounding like Bosco on a commercial. And
it does.
Or Zig and Zag. And go on, talk away.
No, I have a lot to say. Just one thing I have to say is, and I heard today, I must owe this Shea Searson, because he said, Shea Searson's quote, he said, it's like going from primary school to secondary school, and hopefully we'll be here, 89.
Very nice. I hope you graduate too, Tommy. Okay, we're going to go back to the music and have a musical interlude right now with the Hot House Flowers.
And the sun is shining down on the blossoms of the avenue. There's a buzzing fly hanging around the bluebells and the daisies. There's a lot more love in her. Love to me, so don't go. My toes are submerged in the water, and it feels good. Children playing, building castles on the shoreline, like a painted little love of the Lord. It feels so fine. Don't go, don't you die now. While the sun is high, stick around that for a while.
Well, there's lots of good wishes coming in, and it's time for me to make a few announcements. Actually, people want to know what to do at 6 p.m. All you've got to do is honk the horn in your car at exactly 6 o'clock, and I'll tell you when to do it, and that will be the last voice you will ever hear on this radio station. If you haven't got a horn to honk. God bless the mark. You can always bang two saucepan lids together, your dustbin lid, or kick it around. Just make a noise, scream, shout, anything you want to do. Also, the fire brigade say that they wish their best, they give us their best wishes, and they what have they said about Tommy O'Keefe?
They suggest that Tommy O'Keefe should go into professional football.
Oh. And they mean it with all their hearts, I'd say. Also, for Mrs. Murphy, Anne's mother in Dungarvan, says lots of love from Anne. And so many, I had a heap of funny incidents myself. I wrote down here, and I was going to tell you all about, but I don't think they'll actually. This says, thanks for everything from Mary Corcoran and Kilmacow. From all in the Woodmans in John Street, thanks for listening, lads and ladies. For Eddie Gunn, from Eddie Gunn in Butlerstown, all the best.
Just like to say that we're trying to get Paul Byrne on the phone, so hang in there, Paul.
Yes, if you're listening, Paul, and I'm sure you are, we're trying to phone you right now, in fact. Oh, yes, Tom Clancy to say hello to Mrs. Eileen O'Keefe of 195 Hennessy's Road. Tom, you're right there.
That's the hot house flowers there.
Yes, that's the hot house flowers. And you want to say hello to
Mrs. Eileen O'Keefe, 195 Hennessy's Road. I tell you what, now, Eileen, get into the radio there. I tell you, and I stuck the tongue in his way.
You didn't.
Well, I did.
Okay, hold on, Star's gone. The Conrad is in here, and Pat Havlin. We'll have Pat Havlin first, because Pat. There's so many things I could ask you, Pat, but you tell them how you actually came to WLR and what your debut was like.
Well, my debut actually, you said it was an audition, but I actually went live on the air. I think it was a Bee Gees record at the time or something like that, but it was exciting, it was great, sort of end of an era thing now, but the beginning of a broadcasting revolution, obviously. But just trying to think, actually, Rick, of some of the funny things that happened over the year. Mm. And one of the funniest things that happened to me and was with the WLR soccer team. the infamous soccer team was, we were actually playing in the factory, they allowed us in the factory league one year, more is the pity. But anyway, we were playing in the sort of top, we started off playing and we were beaten 10-1 by Clover Meats. Matt King got a goal. It was an he handled it. It was like Maradona, actually, but except at the time. And we went into, there was a famous song out at the time called, from the Bards, called I Stepped Out, You Stepped In Again.
I remember.
And they had there was a bit on one of the local papers, actually. Pat stepped out and Foxy stepped in. But in the losers group, we played a team. I'm not quite sure who the team were. But would you believe it, Rick? A Cocker Spaniel scored a goal. I mean. A dog arrived on the field and scored a goal. I think that's how we went out the factory league, probably just as well. But it's been really great, and yeah. I'd like to thank you personally, Rick, because me and you
we go back a long way back, probably to about 1972 when we used to do discos together. And in actual fact, I was just thinking about the time when we met in the High B, which was probably the first week the radio station was broadcasting, and we had a chat over a pint, and you were talking about maybe doing a bit of broadcasting yourself, and I said, well, you know, okay, fine. You weren't too sure whether you were in or not. I said, will 3 o'clock be okay for you tomorrow? And it was as simple as that. And you went down to the radio station because, I suppose, previous experience from disc jockeying in the nightclubs.
Well, here I am ever since.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Thank you, Pat Haberlin. Liz Reddy.
Yes.
Come on in there, Liz Reddy. Ever ready. Is this
love stories begin on WLR?
No, I met him before I started.
Did you?
A long time ago.
And amazingly, you're still with him.
Yeah.
After all the advances, the boys.
Actually, Rick, you found me, didn't you?
Dancing, actually.
Yeah. No.
Oh, come now, Liz. We don't want to talk about that right now.
Yeah. It was your telephone voice, actually, that attracted us to you first, and you found your way in here. I don't know. Des, I think, got in touch with you.
Yeah.
About what? About 4 years? Was it four years? 5 years ago?
No, it must have been. Yeah, 5 or 6 years ago.
Is it? 6? It's 6.
It mm-hmm.
So, what are you going to do in 1989?
Come back to WLR when we get the license. And Des gave me a 5 earlier. He said that I was to say he was a wonderful boss. So.
and you said it for a 5?
And I said no, he didn't. I won't. I'll give Des the 5 back. Thanks very much for everything, Des.
Okay.
Now, I think Paul Byrne's on the line.
I think Conrad Howard is
there.
Also, you're not the youngest. Yeah, come on, you've got a strange life to tell us about, because you were an archaeologist, or about to become an archaeologist, weren't you?
Was I?
I left it. I realised it wasn't for me in the time.
When you felt a calling to come into local radio. And so you're a late night jock on WLO Southeast Radio.
Yeah, I remember you saying to me about 2 months ago to think of a story, something funny that happened. And I haven't been here that long, so I can't really think of something funny that. And I'm completely stuffed for it, can't think of anything.
Well, thank you for calling in anyway, and happy 1989 to you. I hope we see you again in the future. And there's so many stories I could tell about funny incidents which happened here on WLR, just from my own point of view, from raids and they were quite good, to a guy who used to, in actual fact, come out of the radio station when we were in the Gate Lodge, at the gate's entrance to Old Court in Killottern, and this particular guy, he was very fond of the radio station. In actual fact, I think we're running short of time and I may not even be able to get it in. So I think I'll shift from that particular story to the one where a fellow rang up one day and said, Larry Hagman is in the glass factory. and whoever answered the phone said, look, go away and annoy somebody else and put the phone down. And the phone rang back, I'm not joking yet, Larry Hagman is in the glass factory. And the guy said, look, look, this is a radio station, you know, you can't be blocking the phone lines and that sort of thing. So finally they rang back, the personnel person, although they rang the glass factory anyway, and apparently whoever had rung back just got an answer to say that I'm unable to comment on visitors to the crystal plant, and so that was, and then suddenly there was a complete silence. Just, oh my God, what's wrong with that JR? So the boys got their stuff together and scooted out of the glass factory, and we got a great interview with Larry Hagman, who had just been shot as JR Ewing in Dallas, and wouldn't comment on that. It was a very brief interview nonetheless, but it was an interview. It was probably one of the greatest scoops, I think, that we ever had. There's so much to talk about. I think we'll have some music very quickly, and we have a speech from Joyce Whelan there. Hello, Sean Organ's going to be very pleased about this. I thought he played every U2 record this afternoon, and actually we're getting a little Zetas over the weekend. You too there. We've got Paul Byrne all the way from Clonmel. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Rick. How are you?
I'm very well.
Here are the votes from Clonmel.
And it's good to have you.
It was good to have you too, you sir.
Come on, Paul, give us a little background of yourself. You were with Clonmel Radio for some time, weren't you?
I was, Rick. I've been working in radio now, I suppose, about 9 years. Started off not too far from Waterford, Carrick and Shore, Radio Carrick. Jerry Gannon and Cole, broadcasting from Jerry's shed. And from there we went to Clonmel, where CBC was formed. From there I've been around, you know, I've been everywhere and anywhere around. Like, so finally ending up in Waterford about a year and a half ago.
Not meaning to cut you short, Paul. I said goodbye to you yesterday and shook hands with you, and I'm hoping we can embrace once more in 1989.
Okay.
Oh, come on, lads, I didn't mean it. Paul, best of luck to you in 89, and I hope we broadcast together sometime in the future.
I'm sure of it. Oh.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, it looks like that we got about 3 minutes or less to go, so Des Whelan is in the news booth, and I know he's got a few words which he's collected and put together, and we're going to hear from Des right now.
This is meant to be recorded, but I think we're going to do it live. I've an awful lot of people to thank. It's with great sadness, obviously, that WLR closes today. But I think it's also with a sense of relief that at last, after 10 years, local radio is about to get its long-awaited license. We've been broadcasting continuously since 1978, and since then this station has become part and parcel of everyday life in the southeast. And while I've no doubt that our listeners will miss us and the service we provide, I can assure you that we will miss broadcasting to you even more. WLR is not alone the country's longest established local radio station, but also one of the most successful. Nowhere else in Ireland has a radio station made such inroads in both the community and commercial life of an area. For this, I am grateful, and I mean this, to the wonderfully talented people who have worked here on WLR over the past 10 years. Many have come and gone, many, thankfully, onto bigger things too. But most have stayed, and in an environment that has often combined insecurity with hostility, Those pioneers of local radio stuck with it and have paved the way for the successful introduction of legal local radio to this area. While I am confident WLR will secure a license, whatever happens, it's WLR that has made legal local radio a reality. I have many, many people I wish to thank. Those that work here, definitely the best and most talented staff any station could have. Our advertisers who've always supported us, many in times when it was frowned upon to do so. The good people from the community who've taken part in our programs and encouraged us in our work every day. And more than anything else, I want to thank you, the listeners, for without you, there would have been no WLR. In an independent survey of the radio audience in the Southeast, conducted by one of the top market research companies in the country just 3 weeks ago, WLR held 65% of that audience each week, against 43% for RTE Radio 2, 41% for RTE Radio 1, 26% for ABC Radio, and 2% for NCR. Proof, if there needs be, that local radio for this area is a must, and that WLR, already with 65% of the weekly radio audience in this area, are definitely the ones to do it. I would also like to thank those members of the community organisations who helped create the Southeast Broadcasting Company and those organisations that have supported its plans. I would like it to be known that WLR has never, ever, ever been comfortable having to break the law to provide a service that politicians, in their short-sighted way, were incapable of legislating for. I commend the current government for the forthright way they have tackled the situation. I would also like it to be known, WLR owes no taxes, has or will leave no debts of any sort. I'm extremely proud of this radio station and what it has become. It is professional, informative, entertaining, and in this area, there is no doubt that it is more popular than any other radio station on the wave band. It has, I believe, contributed significantly to the cultural and social life of this area and has created the foundation for the introduction of a legal local radio service which otherwise would be a pipe dream. Finally, when questioned in that independent survey on who should get a local radio license for Waterford City and County, 77% surveyed said WLR. Let us hope that the people get what the people want. Thank you very much.
And it's Des Whelan. It was Des Whelan on the 30th of December, 1988. This is WLR closing down as a pirate station forever. And it's a sad moment. For me, it's been a brilliant 10.5 years. And for me, difficulties were always meant to rouse and never discourage. And I think that WLR will be back. If you're in your car right now and you want to honk your horn, you can do it right away.
There's a magic in the music through the day and night.